B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour, Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings. Big Jim Murray and Tim McCone alongside, as promised, right to your phones. Ben in Groveland on the Celtics today. How'd you feel about it, Ben?
Oh, man, I think I was more frustrated listening to Maz all week saying he doesn't want a big guy because he can't hit free throws than I am today. But I had a couple things to add really frustrating me. And maybe he thinks we can't – maybe Danny thinks we can't win the championship this year, but here's where I'm frustrated. The Warriors are down this year. They're tanking. The Bucks lose Brogdon. Next year, you have the Clippers, the Lakers. The Nets will have KD. It's like
The Warriors will be back with Curry, Thompson, a first overall pick, perhaps. Like, they're going to be right back. Sorry.
Right. So in a way, you're actually hurting yourself next year by waiting. The chances next year even go down. Gordon Hayward's playing great. Tatum's hitting it. Jaylen Brown stepping up. This is the perfect time to add a big Maz. He called Danny Tice and Robert Williams assets the other day, which drove me mad. But you couldn't even add bench scoring. It is so frustrating. And Danny's a good GM, but I don't know what he's missing here.
You're so right about the landscape. Golden State's back next year. The Nets with Kevin Durant are right there next year.
Victor Oladipo will be a year truly removed from that injury, and so Pacers could be better as well.
Though, of course, I'm not going to put them on the list. Like, clearly...
The landscape's different, and it's, I think, a little bit more challenging than it is this year, just in terms of the East alone.
And watch out for Miami. You're so right.
Right.
Watch out for Miami and what Riley's got up his sleeve and the room they've got for a max guy down there. Now, there's not a lot of max guys available, like the free agency this year, but what if, I don't know, what if Gordon Hayward opts out and goes from you to them?
Right.
Miami now better than you?
Yeah.
Like, and maybe Hayward is in a place where he and his wife actually like, and I don't know. I don't think it's wide open this year, but it's more open than it's going to be next year. I would agree with that.
Of the moves that all happened here within the last 24 hours, okay, so maybe you wouldn't be able to make it work with Andre Drummond. The one that I think that Celtics fans should really be pissed off at is if you take Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer at his word, who tweeted, Washington's demand for Davis Bertans was 2 first-round picks per league sources. Celtics, one of multiple playoff teams with interest in acquiring Bertans. 6'10", right? Good. Yep. He'd be a good bench scorer, can shoot the three, be a perfect fit. The ask was... 2 first-round picks. You got 3 of them. You have 3 firsts and 2 twos. You have more picks than you know what the hell to do with. Not just this year. The last, 3 years. What are you going to keep doing with these crap picks?
Oh, my God. Looking at this.
Yeah, I can do the simple math here. They wanted 2. You still have a first-round pick. So what? That would also mean you then have to, get rid of someone here from this team, from the bench, one of your deep role players. Oh, to move on from Semi Ojeleye or someone else and add this kid so you have a better bench and some scoring coming off your bench. Like, that's the move that you should look at and be pissed off at, that it didn't happen. Because you have to hang on to these precious picks. Assets, these stupid picks.
The only picks that matter are in the top handful, okay, at most. And you've done well. You've taken those, and I'm all for you hoarding those. I mean, you gave up one-ish for Kyrie. I'm not going to go back there. But, you took Marcus Smart at 6. You took Jaylen Brown at 3. Jason Tatum at 3.
Those
fine.
All panned out. Great.
Okay. The rest of them? The rest of this. You had 2 first-round picks in 2012. Jared Sullinger, Fab Mello. Garbage and garbage. In 2013, what did you do in 13? You trade the pick? I can't remember what you did. It shows Lucas Nariga. Who the hell's that?
Oh, yeah.
And you immediately traded him?
Yeah, he went to the Hawks.
Anyway, you had the 17th overall in 2014, James Young.
Oh, that was the year that the Celtics traded up to Dallas to get Kelly Olynyk.
Okay, there you go. And left Giannis on the board. Whoops. 2015, you drafted at 16, 28, 33, and 45. Terry Rozier, RJ Hunter, Jordan Mickey, and Marcus Thornton.
That's a lot of suck.
Rozier's like, I'll give you a half.
Ugh.
In 2016, someone has to explain to me what the hell they were doing in 2016. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You had 8 picks in 2018. There's only 2 rounds. You had 8 effing picks, and you used them? Jaylen Brown went 3rd overall. Fine. Here's what the rest of them became. Gerbershon, Ubiselli, Ante Zizic, and then you traded a cut. So again, forgive me, Devontae Davis, what'd you do with him? Rade Zadorik, what'd you do with him? Demetrius Jackson, Ben Bentel, Abdel Nader.
Oh, my God, names.
So bad. 2017, you took four players off the board, three in the second round. Semi Ojeleye, Kadeem Allen, Jabari Bird. Last year was the Time Lord at 27. This year you had three first-round picks. Used two of them, Langford, Williams, Tremont Waiters in the second round. How many of these guys do you need? I mean, how many names did I just mention?
Right. That
it's just like you continue to stuff the back of your bench in Maine with these guys, and now you've got three more first-round picks next year, 17, 26, and 30. What are you hoarding those for? That blows me away, too. Mike in the truck on Brady. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I just had this thought about Brady, the free agency. I want to get your thoughts on it. Let's say he does the free agent tour, and just as an example, Vegas offers him 3 years, $100 million. He goes back to the Patriots. They say, we can only offer you 2 years, $50 million. Couldn't it look really good for the Patriots and Brady if he took that deal? For the Patriots to say, well, yeah, we couldn't offer him as much, but he decided we were still his best option. And Brady can say, yeah, I was offered more, but this is the franchise that gave me a chance when nobody believed in me, and I just want to retire.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yep, yep. Brady could still say, I take less to win. Yep, he'd still be able to make that claim.
I'd think less of him.
I'd be disappointed, but it doesn't feel like that's all. I think Brady wants to sit back and say, well, okay, fine, the money's fine, Bill. I mean, we can work on that, but...
What are you going to do for me? What kind of help are you going to surround me with?
What are you going to do at left tackle? Because you really bollocks that thing last year. And, you know, Trent Brown's now in Oakland or Vegas, and they want me. So, and, you know, Dallas has got great offense. So, I mean, what's your plan there, Bill? Because you kind of screwed that thing up last year. Oh, yeah. And then what does Bill say? Bill craps in his pants. He's so pissed off.
I'd just be like beet red, steam coming off of his head.
Derek, why did I say that? Dakota in Braintree and the Great Landline. Go ahead, Dakota.
The Maine Red Claws are selling out every game, Mike, so they're doing something right up there, right? All right, before I get to Isaiah, take consistency on my part. Jimmy, what did I say? Declaration of doneness if this team still has Gordon Haywood and doesn't make any moves. We got worse today. And, oh, by the way, Gordon Haywood, foot a problem all of a sudden again. Probably going to miss the next game. This guy, and Michael, if they didn't believe in this team this year, why hold on to Gordon Haywood, who I mentioned is at flight risk? That salary you never can get back if he walks.
Good
okay,
point. It's a good, Dakota. That's a good point. If you don't believe in the team, sell.
The other thing, okay, on Isaiah, he just became available. All right, a lot of people want to trash him, say he's no good. He's actually in 20 minutes a game this year, put up big numbers against the high quality teams that are in the playoffs.
Dakota, Isaiah Thomas or Brad Wanamaker?
Oh, Isaiah Thomas.
Me too.
Yep. Michael, he has shoot 48% from threes against the high-quality teams this year, 21-43. Oh, by the way, Gordon Haywood against those same teams, 15-47, 31%. This team will not get out of the second or the Eastern Conference final if you're relying on Gordon Haywood, okay, to take shots and play defense. They're okay. Done. Declaration of doneness.
Okay, Dakota. I like that point, though. If you're not going to add and you don't believe in the team, then sell. And then play for the future, which is what you're doing. If you're going to hoard these effing first round picks, add to it. You know, add. I mean, that's really your play. If you're hoarding your assets, well, then just accumulate it. You don't think the team's going to do anything. I think that's fair. Now, again, if they add in the buyout market, I'll come down a little bit.
Same.
You know, from the outrage.
Whether that's Isaiah Thomas, Tristan Thompson, anyone like that.
So apparently Tristan Thompson is not going to be bought out. But I think McBone made a great point, and that is, you know, in the buyout market, you're going to be going up against the Lakers and the Clippers and the Rockets and better destinations than you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who's to say you get these players? And, oh, by the way, to go into the buyout market, that means you have to ditch someone off your roster. And I know you don't. You can't get rid of Javonte Green or Semi Ojeleye. That I know. That you have to build around those guys.
And I didn't even see this until right now. Yeah, so they put out the injury report ahead of tomorrow night's game against Atlanta. And sure enough, Hayward's questionable with the foot. That thing's going to continue to be an issue.
We're doing some Bruins chatter as well. They are a Stanley Cup contender. They are right now the best record in the league. And Charlie McAvoy has not made that leap, is a point that I made earlier as he scored his first goal of the year last night. Michael in Florida, your thoughts?
Yeah, a couple things on the McAvoy thing. First of all, I was at the game that you were at in Miami. I am officially the get-off-my-lawn guy. My God, 2.5 hours of blaring music. Can we watch the game?
Yeah, it's a little loud down there. It's
true. Oh, my God. Anyway, I think one of the reasons McAvoy hasn't taken the offensive leap is because of the fact that he is playing with Chara, who I love, who I've always loved, who I will continue to love. But because he is old and incredibly slow, I think McAvoy sort of pulls back.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it, Mike. I'm just going to cut you off there because we're up against it. I think McAvoy's first goal of the year last night, that is for, you know, your next franchise defenseman and your number one guy, and you're hoping to, like, this is the time when he should start sniffing Norris consideration. Takes him until February 5th to score his first goal. Like, on paper, it's like, oof. But he's really more of a defensive defenseman at this point. A lot of that has to do with how he plays with Chara. And if it nets out to them being a good defensive team and they're scoring up front, or there's other guys taking that offensive load like Krug and...
I can live with it. I just wondered, though, for you, for who lusts after a Drew Doughty, and you always talk so highly of him. Like, does it bum you a little bit?
Yes. I mean, because... Well, you know what? I don't think he's Drew Doughty. I think Drew Doughty's special, all-around talent, offensive talent. I just don't know if Charlie is that talented. But... in 5 years, I'll say this, in two, three, four years, he better be scoring more than three goals a year or whatever. You're going to need him to be that all-around offensive defenseman. This year, apparently, they don't need it. I thought they would have. I thought for them to make a move or to still be where they are at, McAvoy would have had to make a big move, and he hasn't, at least offensively. We continue with your thoughts right after these words.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
You hear Zoe there? That was today. Zoe thinks Dallas is real.
Yeah, he's channeling Colin Cowherd. His take, Brady to Dallas.
So Brady's going to play somewhere else the last year, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's Dallas.
Again, that was four years ago. Colin was back at it yesterday with just Brady and the merch that he'd sell in Dallas. He's 4 years later, he's still at it. But Zoe said, you heard him. You heard him right there. Zoe thinks Dallas is a player. Again, how would that pitch from Jerry Jones go there, Murray? Because Brady's going to take these free agent visits. He's going to do the free agent tour. He sits down with Jerry Jones. How does it go?
Now, Tom, I don't want to check with you. I know you like to train with them bands. You join me down here in Dallas, I'll show you how I use them bands to make them dance. Bust open a stack of dollar bills and make it rain on them whores. Drink us some Johnny Blue. What do you think, Tom? Come on, Joni.
That would be a wonderful move for the league. That would be a great Brady and Dallas.
They would sell so many jerseys.
Oh, they would.
They would have every primetime game. It would just be a coup for the league. It
tremendous.
Really would.
And then Prescott would go somewhere and make that team good.
Right. Yeah.
He's a good player.
I think he's pretty good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of upside with Dak Prescott.
So
bring him here.
I think, you know, I don't know if it would work here, Murray, because he's going to want
the money would be ridiculous.
Bring him on. He's going to pay him $30 million, and I doubt the Pats would go all in like that.
You know, have him go to a team like the Colts or something like that.
There you go. I mean, I think that would be tremendous for the league. I think the Raiders would be tremendous for the league. So we continue with that. Your thoughts on the Celtics and their lack of activity today. The Bruins are on the board. If you want to go back to the Betts trade, you can as well. We've done very little on that. I think this the thing with the injury and the medicals is just I won't use the term I used earlier, although it fits it perfectly. It's just sort of tinkering. It's just the Red Sox saying, we found something, give us more. But it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good.
And I think it's a bad look for Chaim Bloom, who so far for his first big move as the GM of this team or chief baseball officer, and the title makes me want to puke, it looks like he didn't know what the hell he's doing. Like he made an incorrect assessment on both of these guys.
So, Johnny Winthrop, your thoughts on that? Johnny?
Hi.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to turn to Betts for a minute. And I want to tell you what happened to him in Boston. First of all, he's not a right fielder. he doesn't have the making up of Brown that a right fielder had, like Dwight Evans. It's not a question of being speedy out there.
Okay, Johnny, I got it. Can you, point? What's the point?
All right, the point is, if he played left field, they wouldn't have been able to trade him because he would have been so good. He would have been above an all-star. Don't forget, left field is a hallowed position. Williams, Rice, Yastrzemski, Betts gone.
So I'm not sure about that, Johnny. I'm just going to cut you off. His WAR is through the roof, and I think it's because he plays right field at Fenway where he can show off all that stuff and go get it if he's playing left field. He just turns around and takes it off the wall.
And in the postseason, about the only thing he has given you is his defense.
Yeah, so I would disagree. I think his, again, with these advanced metrics, the WAR and UZRs and all that crap, I think playing in right field at Fenway helps him because they adjust for all. It's all ballpark adjusted, blah, blah, blah. It's all that stuff. I think it actually helps him. Dan in Nottingham on the Patriots. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, you're killing me these days. Listening to you talk about Tom Brady sounds like Nancy Pelosi talking about Donald Trump. You sit here and you say the past 2 years that the offense has been on a slide. They won the friggin' Super Bowl 2 years ago, and then this year was a disaster because of all the idiots. If those idiots like Antonio Brown had actually stayed on the field, they would have won another Super Bowl. So, I mean, what are you really looking for?
I don't think they won the Super Bowl on offense 2 years ago, Dan.
No, but they won the Super Bowl. Does it matter? Does it matter how it's put together? They won the Super Bowl.
No. My statement was that the offense has been in a 2 year decline. That's accurate.
Yes, but how about the year they had Moss when they went undefeated? They lost. Does it really matter?
No, but
you have the best offense in the world.
We're talking about apples and oranges. I'm not talking about the overall quality of the team. The overall quality of the team is good, and will be good as long as Belichick is here. The offense the last 2 years has been in decline, and that's a little bit on Brady, but mostly on everything else. It's only a little bit on Brady physically. I think physically speaking, he's generally the same guy. Little tail off. I think what has caught up to him is that he doesn't trust the players around him, doesn't like the players around him, doesn't work with the players around him. He is so...
It's so complex.
It's so complex. He's so advanced in the offense, the others aren't. And it's like, I think that's all gotten in the way. It's all contributed to, if he doesn't have his guys out there without Gronkowski or Edelman, that they're having a hard time bringing other players along. And I think that's all sort of caught up to him. Now, if Brady comes back next year, they're going to be a very good team, Super Bowl contender. I'm not guaranteed the offense is going to turn it around.
No, I think it would be just basically the same as it was this year. And it's not good enough.
So we're talking about two different things. I'm just talking about purely the offense. Michael in the car on the Bruins. Go, Mike.
Hey, guys, I'd like to get Kreider as much as the next guy, but I think they'd be better suited, the Bruins would be, if they went after a little bit of a lesser-tier guy, maybe a Palmieri or a Toffoli, and then got a defenseman. Last year, they ran out a bunch of AHL defensemen who did an admirable job, but when they get against a heavy team in a long playoff series, they got grinded down. They had no chance to win Game 7. They were just beat up.
So they were front and back. You need, to go win a Stanley Cup, you need like 8 defensemen because you're always...
You're gonna lose one or two.
They're dropping. They're always dropping. So you need 7-8 deep. Connor Clifton, not good enough, maybe. I don't know. Do you bank on Kevin Miller coming back? Real quick, Vinny in New Hampshire, are you banking on Kevin Miller coming back?
Exactly. That's what they needed last year against St. Louis, Mike. He would have been a difference maker in front of the net on half of their rebound goals. Don't you agree?
He can't stay out there, Vinny. He can't stay healthy.
What's wrong with his knee?
I think he broke it.
Yeah, it turned into dust.
Didn't he shatter it?
Yeah.
I mean, and if he comes back from that, then he's going to shatter something else, I think. I mean, I'm not saying trade the guy or dump him. I mean, keep him on the organizational roster. And if he's healthy, great. But I'm not banking on him. I'm treating it as if he's not going to be back, and he's never going to be back, is how I would manage it. Tom and Quincy, your thoughts on Tom Brady's free agent tour. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I was laughing because I personally don't think that he's going anywhere. I think that he'll end up signing here. I think he'll end up signing here before the 18th of March to make sure that, they're all set that way. But honest to God, if this does come to fruition that he starts making these visits, I hope to God it's Dallas because I cannot get enough of Murray and the whore talk.
No,
Jerry
it's just the best.
It is. Murray, as many good things as you bring, that thing with the megaphone, fantastic.
Let me get on the phone here and make my pitch to Tom. Tom, if you're into big plays, big belt buckles and bigger boobs, and you'll join me down here in Dallas where we got the biggest breasted whores you ever don't see.
I can't get enough of it either, Tom. I can't.
But as far as going to the other teams, like visiting the Raiders and visiting the Buccaneers and this other stuff, the other teams have some interesting situations because they have quarterbacks that can move on. I think it's Carr in Oakland, and then you got Mariota, who sucks.
Well, no, I mean, Winston's a free agent. All these teams have flexibility at quarterback.
Yeah, Winston's awful. Like, they're talking about some of the kind of spill in. Winston's he threw 33 touchdowns, 30 picks.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus Christ, guy. But these other ones, they talk about coming here, and it's like, no. I don't want Marcus Mariota. I don't want Jameis Winston. There's not a shot in hell he ends up as a Buccaneer to begin with. That's not my concern. The Dallas Cowboys is the most interesting thing to me. I think that Brady's going to stay, but I can just, if he goes to Dallas, my God, the league is going to blow up.
Oh, blow up in a good way. Blow up in a good way, McBone.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't understand why you guys want to move on from the greatest quarterback of all time.
No, we're not moving. It's more interesting.
I want if it's going to look like this year, because the 12-4 record was fake, and they got how it ended up is what they deserved, because the whole thing was bloated. But he was miserable, at week three when they're winning in Buffalo. And if it's going to be like this, and he's going to be mad about what he's surrounded by, and it's just going to be another slog of a season, I'd like to see a re-energized Brady, because I'm with you. He's my favorite athlete of all time. I've enjoyed watching him play. But if it happens to be with another team, so be it. And I want to see, because I'm Tom over team, and I don't really believe all that much in Belichick. Let's see it. For all you that really believe with Belichick, that this team, no matter what, even if it's Jared Sidham, they'll be 10-6, 11-5, still win the division. I now want to see it.
Surround Brady with some talent outside of Jacoby Myers.
They're not going
to
do it.
Here's a crazy idea: go into free agency, and before Adam Humphries agrees to a deal with Tennessee, maybe give him a legit offer.
And then they get here, and the guy runs a button hook at 12 yards when Tom wanted to run it at 8, and he never looks at him again. That's what's been going on in the last couple of years.
This year,
where he calls for the button hook and he runs the go, and Brady comes back to the side, chucks his helmet. There's another guy that doesn't get it.
With how he treated this season, it just feels like the whole thing's run its course. So, he's got a few years left. I want to see it re-energized somewhere else, and I want to see if Bill can try to win with someone else.
28-year-old McBone doesn't know what life is like without Tom Brady. He doesn't get it.
No, it's a challenge. And so, like many other millennials, they don't want to face the challenge.
Well, you know what, too? Like, maybe if the Patriots actually treated him like a franchise quarterback and like the Saints did with Drew Brees.
Man. Again, another millennial attitude. Give. Just give it to me. I want it all handed to me.
So that part I'm with you, but they're not going to do that. So I've accepted that.
I'll yuck it up with Lawrence Taylor all day long. But when it comes to the greatest quarterback of all time, no, that's the line for Belichick. It's unbelievable.
Tim McGone in our update studio gets you the very latest on what the Celtics did today. Does Danny Ainge need a new nickname? We'll do that when we get back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, there he is! Trainer Danny! Oh.
Trainer Danny!
Take cover! Here comes Trainer Danny!
Trainer Danny!
Now bury that one.
Hey, you can't call him that anymore. It's a false narrative.
Oh, Mr. Conservative. Hoarder Danny. That's his new name, Hoarder.
Hoarder Danny.
Hoarder Danny.
The Stan Pat Kid.
He's one of these hoarders. The Stan Pat Kid. I love it. The Stan Pat Kid. Oh, my God. How many picks are you going to hoard? Trader Danny.
He's going to come into the saloon and take yours in and give him his in, and you're going to come out with more. You're going to have you running down the... I can't,
you should be doing this, Murray.
now it's, he's going to come into that saloon and he's going to take yours in, and he's going to take that one, and he's going to take that one, and that one, and that one. He wants all of them picks. He's Stan Pat Riley.
Oh, there he is! Trader Danny! Oh,
I'm gonna put that.
Take cover! Here comes Trader Danny! I'm not trading anything. I'm going to put that one in Maine, that one in Europe, that one in Maine.
How many guys do you need in Maine?
Three first-round picks.
Three of them are playing tonight.
Jesus! How many?
He's not playing in Maine tonight.
good stretch for that guy, from what I hear. I'm telling you, this is like, how many picks has he made? It's got to be between the last 3 years, 16, 17, 18, 19. The last four, in 2016, you still have to tell me what that was. Three in the first, five in the second.
I think that was the year that everybody thought they were going up to get Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. So a couple of these may have been traded the day of, because I just don't even know what happened to Deontay Davis. You remember him?
Drafted, didn't make it out of summer league.
Roddy Zagorek? Ever know what happened to him? Demetrius Jackson? Ben Bentel? I've never heard of these people.
They stretched him.
It makes a good soup.
Abdel Nader was here for, you know, like a couple of games. But it's just the three first-round picks next year. It's like, oh, my God.
And two twos.
And are they going to make them all?
Of course they are.
Are you going to make them all?
More. Hoarder day.
It's crazy. So he doesn't believe in the team. And he's, you know, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying that he's wrong there. Doesn't believe in the team. But that, to me, is what that says. Tom in the car. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, it's nurture Danny. He's going to draft you all and nurture you and coddle you and, you know, make you a lovable player. And, you know, I just don't understand, you know, what he's waiting for. It seems like every year, you know, it's a team that's right there, 2-3 seed, 1 seed. And, you know, he looks around the landscape of the league and he's got his feet up on his desk. Nah, I'm good. I think I'll sit this one out. And, you know, you look at teams like the Clippers and you look at the Heat and the Sixers, teams, you know, that are just in the same position as you, and they go out and they make moves and they make deals. I just don't understand, you know, how he can just continue to be content at the deadline.
Me neither.
You know, when he's stockpiling picks, you know, and he's got, you know, Romeo Langford, he just drafted in the first round, has never seen the floor. You don't want to move him. Like, it's frustrating year in and year out.
Is Romeo Langford one of these, is he a two-way player, Stu, or is he on the 15-man because he was a first? Like,
he started last night.
No, I know. He played, but he was in Maine most of the year, right?
Yeah, he's going back and forth.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How many guys do you have, like, going back and forth?
He treats the basketball team like he's, like, waiting for end of days. Just going to stockpile and hoard. You never know.
Hoarder Danny? Mike in Rockport. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, man. This has been a bad week, month, or just Boston sports in general, between Brady leaving, Mookie being traded, and Ainge, man. I don't know which one of these teams to be more pissed at. But with Ainge, I mean, you know, we have Bertrands, Capella, Drummond, you know, and it's not even that, too, but like Alec Burks and Pascal got traded for 3 second rounders. Like, those guys would be good bench guys for us. Like, if anything, this year is the year for us. And you know, I just, this, if you know, any, at this point, today makes me want to, like, fire Danny Ainge. It's, like, unbelievable.
Okay, a little,
like,
strong. He's still amazing.
The end is near.
Okay, it's just, no, it's just.
He should be open to criticism, which you typically don't hear from Celtics fans. So at least that's refreshing. Like, again, I don't want the guy fired. He shouldn't be fired. But he's not infallible.
He's too good. But the approach, you know, it's, talk about, you know, on a couple different fronts. For the first time in years, you really do need bench help. Like, you've been so deep you've been too deep. You've had too many guys. That's been the problem. Now, for the first time in a while, your 7, 8, 9 guys are not very good and are easily upgradable.
And it's cost you games.
Okay, so that need is there. You have all these draft picks that you've just made and are going to make. And the door is slightly ajar. Golden State's nowhere this year because of injuries. Durant is hurt this year. Miami's not fully formed, etc. There is a bit of an opening. So all those things sort of conspired for you to do something. Something. And you're right, Adam McConer. You said that. Miami's a sleeping giant. Miami's a sleeping giant. They have $50 million in cap space next year. Is that right?
Yep.
They're hoarding it for Giannis.
They're going to get, well, he's not free next year. I think he's got two more. But, so maybe that's coming 2 years down the pike. Max in the truck, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? So year after year, trade deadline comes, and Danny Ainge does not make any deals. He hoards all these picks, and he never makes a trade. It's like, we could have used a big man or some bench players, and it's like, year after year, I'm so frustrated because it's like, oh, Is Danny Ainge going to make a trade? The rumor is he's trying to get this guy and that guy. And nothing ever happens. It's just so frustrating as a Celtics fan to see him just hoard all these picks. What are you going to do with them?
I don't know. Yeah. Send him to Maine.
Right. Frustrating as a Celtics fan. But if you're a Red Claws fan, man, you're in for it.
It's a heck of a product up there. They must be undefeated up there. Seriously, is any... It's not the D. G League have more first-round picks and viable guys? Seriously.
Tonight, too. You got Carson Edwards, Tremont Waters, Taco Fall, all expected to be in uniform tonight at the Expo. Hashtag crustacean.
Edwards' last game in Maine, he dropped 41 points.
Oh, yee, way, yay.
He only won by two.
The thing last year, I've heard Adam Jones talk about this, and he's right. Last year wasn't an ad year. Last year, he should have looked at the team and said, I've got too many guys, and it's causing a problem, and Marcus Morris is taking away minutes and shots, and Terry Rozier doesn't get his role. And if I could subtract here, I can change the mix of my team, which had a real problem. Yeah. It was obvious to everyone. So last year, he could have done it on the other side. So I don't need him to add every year. But how about assess what you are, assess the landscape, and adjust here at this time of year? He's gotten really gun-shy. At this time of year, the last time he made a significant trade at this time was Isaiah Thomas.
Well, and I think it's because
you were a true middler then. It really didn't matter what you did at that time.
And so the thing that's frustrating is that he wants the narrative to continue that he always wins these trades. And at this point, I don't think anyone's going to fall for the old banana in the tailpipe from Danny Ainge and end up with egg on their face like, he got me again. Like, GMs aren't going to try to benefit him so that he can win a deal. It's been years since that's happened, and it's okay. You gotta give to get. Like, I think it's okay to hear, hey, it worked out for both sides. It doesn't always have to be, Danny won the deal.
Ed and Whitman, what do you got for us tonight?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to just talk about overall the length of contracts and kind of how ridiculous it's gotten. Like, I'm good for 5 years. You give a five-year contract. I think that's the most you should probably give. But between baseball and hockey, and I think even hockey tried to do something to curtail this after, like, Kovalchuk and everything else. And maybe it's too early to tell. Is there any example out there where one of these long 10, 12 years ever works out? It always, at the end, I mean, even Trout, who is great, you cannot believe that he is going to be worth the contract at the end.
So, Mike, for 10 and 12 year deal, I'm going to cut you off. You're so right. Like, it's just patently absurd. I'll give you an 8-year contract that worked. Manny Ramirez.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And he was loaded to the gills on all sorts of stuff, but we'll leave that out for now. The point is, he was a factor in year one and he was a factor in year eight. Other than that, I mean, I don't know. You watched last night the Blackhawks. I mean, Taves, Kane, all those guys are on 10 year deals. They're not quite the same guys. I mean, like, I think the Blackhawks are probably on the hook for 6 more years. Something absurd with those guys. It's like, that ain't going to work.
Here's the issue I have with it, though. You look at that contract and Mookie Betts. They're not giving them to that because it's an organizational philosophy that they're against paying those contracts. They're not giving it to them because they painted themselves in a corner, right? So now when they get the financial flexibility moving forward, you can't tell me in 2 years they're not going to hand out a monster 10-year contract to some other player.
McCone, they might be against the long-term deal. They didn't like the Manny Ramirez deal. Didn't they always put him on waivers every year to try and get rid of him?
But what happened with John Lester, and then a year later they go with David Price, right, and sign him to a monster $217 million deal?
Was that a 7-year deal with the opt-out in there? So, I mean, I don't know. I've always understood that they were against the long-term deal.
And they had to have learned the lesson with Pedroia, too. I mean, that's
what does that mean? So what did Bogarts just get?
I forget.
Okay, so, I mean,
I don't know. But they signed Adrian Gonzalez to an 8-year deal, didn't they?
And Carl Crawford. So, like, when...
Oh, those were eight. Those were both eight. Oh, yeah, yay.
So
yeah,
when interest when interest dips and the ratings are down in Nesson in 2 years because there hasn't been a good product and there's a big off-season free agent out there, you don't think they're going to dive into that?
I mean,
100% are.
If you're going to... If you get Mike Trout...
6 years for Bogarts.
Okay, only six. But, so, I mean, it's a fair point. If you get the Mike Trout comparison, and they kind of do in Mookie Betts, he's right behind him. Are you not going to sign him because you don't like 10-year contracts? I mean, I don't like him either. But if that's what the league is, if that's how business is done, how do you get out of it? Without saying we'll never have one of those guys. Ralph in the car. Go ahead, Ralph.
Do you guys think Danny just overvalues his assets? Or is it teams don't want to make trades with him because he's always trying to get the better hand.
So both, but how can you overvalue these crappy first-round picks? 17, 26, and 30. If the draft were tonight,
year after year after year,
how can you know the amount of times you're drafting Gerbershon, Ubaselli, and Antti Zizic, and that's what's coming from the majority of those picks, and you hoard them year after year after year. I honestly don't get it. I honestly
waiting
don't get
on
it.
One of these guys to hit.
Okay, so there's that. That thus concludes the call-in portion of the program. The final word will be next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. For the guaranteed lowest prices on tires, go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town
nobody,
Fair
McBob.
Tire. Nobody.
Nobody.
Trade deadline in the NBA. Celtics, a whole lot of nothing.
This has to be us bashing the Celtics to the NBA theme music. Has to be.
Well, there's only one thing that's more, I guess, believable than you bashing the Celtics, and that's Celtics callers defending the Celtics when they don't make a move. Fine.
Damien in Brighton. Go ahead, Damien.
I think Romeo Langford is going to be a stud. I think Grant Williams is establishing himself, and I think he's somebody that can help this team like for years. You know, people talk about Golden State as a juggernaut. They weren't that until they became that, and they became that.
Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Romeo Langford and Grant Williams. I swear to God, the Celtics in the last 2 years have acquired like five or six guys that
they're all the same.
I'm still not exactly sure who's who. Right. And I purposely don't learn it because they're all interchangeable.
Roster fodder, basically.
I mean, I would say nothing. I don't want to be disrespectful, but they're just guys. And the way Celtics fans fall in love with just the guys. I mean, again, Chris and Dedham, go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, hey guys, I'm viewing the Celtics' lack of movement today a little bit differently, that they have all these draft picks in the first round, I believe three, not a very deep NBA draft this year in college, kind of an anomaly of the past couple of years.
Chris, let me tell you something, even if it were the deepest draft ever, 17, 26, and 30 is jack squat, okay? So I don't want to hear about the quality of the draft, it doesn't matter, those picks are useless. Deep draft, strong draft, 17, 26, and 30?
Useless.
Well, what is that going to do for
nothing.
You?
Nothing.
It's going to add another piece to the end of your bench or main. And that's what that's going to be. When this is a team that has a chance to go to the NBA Finals.
When you're already.
They're running out of room in main.
They are.
It's so true. All right. Coming up next, you thought that was bad. It might be getting worse, Celtics fans.
I like that guy's logic that in a bad draft, people don't even know who's going to go number one in this draft. It's like, ooh, but they have 17. You can't even figure out who's going number one in this draft.
Wow. 17 and maybe getting worse.
Yeah. I hope Danny's happy to lose to Philadelphia in the first round after doing nothing today. That's what I'm looking forward to with this team.
I don't think it's that bad, but I think
Philly's a bad. I know you hate Philly. Philly's a bad matchup for them.
I hate them.
That's why they needed a big.
I think Miami's becoming a worse matchup by the day. That's the team I'm starting to worry about is Miami.
I might be starting to buy into Jones' whole theory that everything's just over. It's just over. Everyone sucks.
Everybody's done.
Yeah.
The choking Bruins. The choking Bruins are like the favorite to win. That's the best we got now. The choking Bruins.
Oh, that's so scary. It is true. They are the closest to a championship right now. And you know they're just waiting to puke all over themselves.
Relying on Tuukka Rask.
Oh, you know that's
just
coming.
Just don't let the Stanley Cup get in the building.
All right, Jones, what are you talking about?
Oh, sorry. So we're actually going to start with this bozo new GM. Nice trade that he made, I thought. We can't rip the GM. We're not allowed to rip the GM. The prospects that he chose, bad back,
attitudes on the field, recording assaults off the field, and that's the good prospect. That's the good prospect that they got. We're going to get into the other guy, my favorite, Bruce Dar Ate It All, is what I like to refer to him as. We're going to start with that trade that may be blowing up right in the Red Sox faces.
You completely missed that, didn't you?
I'm trying to figure it out.
Bruce Dar Ate It All?
Oh, I see. There you go.
See, because he's a large moose of a man.
No, it's a...
it's weird. The guy who's 21 and 270 pounds failed his physical. Huh. Go figure. That's weird.
See, it was a joke, and I don't do well with humor. Arcand, we try not to do humor on this program.
Oh, well, the night show's totally different.
Here it comes. No commercials, just McBone on the update. We're back tomorrow at 2 for an agenda-free Friday. See you then, Jim.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.